to start the interview, Anna Sophie, prior to relocating to Beijing, please tell us something about yourself, your background, what you were doing, and so forth.
Okay, well, I was born in Los Angeles, California, and I went to college in Santa Cruz, UC Santa Cruz. I was a modern literature major, and a few months before I graduated, before I got my bachelor's, I saw an advertisement for a work abroad program that was called Volunteers in Asia. It ran out of Stanford University, and so they send young grads all over Asia to teach and work with communities and do all kinds of volunteer work. And I told them if I could go to China, I would want to go. I would be interested in joining the program. And so they signed me up and sent me to China about 3 weeks after I graduated college.
And when was that, so Anna Sophie?
That was in 1996.
Mm-hmm. And why did you want to go to China?
Well, my initial interest in China was actually connected to my grandparents and my father. My grandmother Sophie and grandfather Richard went to China in the 30s. They went in 1933 with my father, and I never got to meet them. But I had a picture book, a photograph book of the photos that my grandfather took when they were living in Shanghai. They lived there from 1933 to 1937. And so I always wanted to go. I always wanted to see this place where my father spent the first years of his life. I was very curious about China. And I also knew that if I just put myself there, I knew that at my age and at this time in my life, if I just placed myself in China, I would really soak in Chinese culture. I would probably learn Chinese. My life perspective would completely change. I knew that. I didn't know how it was going to change, but I knew that it would change. And I brought those photographs with me on my journey, and I shared them with the Chinese people I met, and that's how my whole life here began.
Mm-hmm. And you did you speak Chinese when you went, or did you have to learn it?
I had to learn it. I didn't speak any Chinese.
Well, how on earth were you able to do that?
Well, I think that just by being in that environment, you know, there were very few foreigners in Beijing at that time. It was a very, very different place than it is today. China's developing so fast that even people who live their whole lives here can barely recognize the city sometimes. That's how fast it changes, you know? And and so back then, there were very few foreigners. My world was Chinese. Everyone around me spoke Chinese. And so I learned very quickly. It took me about 9 months to learn how to speak, you know, comfortably. Maybe I wasn't fluent yet, but I could carry a conversation. And it was really my relationships with Chinese people. I did a little bit of studying, but mostly I was working. So it really was just my desire to communicate with others.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are, as a filmmaker, you're producing and directing and writing even a series called Sexy Beijing. What is
yes.
that? And tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, well, Sexy Beijing was a project I started with two partners in 2006. So it's exactly 10 years later. And that really came out of sort of new technology and our desire to do something new and different. You know, 2006 was around the time when YouTube was just becoming popular, and we had access to it in China. Nowadays, it's blocked. So unfortunately, Chinese people can't get on YouTube anymore. But my career up to that point, so those 10 years, had been all in journalism. But I was mostly in print. I had been writing about China for that decade. And in 2006, I joined with my two partners, Luke Mines and Jeremy Goldcorn, And we said, you know, let's do something new. We need to, you know, sort of move into online media in a different way. And what can we do? And it really all just happened in like one day. And I think that a lot of great creative collaborations happen that way, because the three of us had a history together. We all knew each other very well. So we just sat there in front of the computer and just thought about, who are we? What do we want to say? You know, what would each of us, if each of us could do a show about China, what would it be? And like I said, I mean, it really just took like half an hour for me to come up with the idea that, you know, for me, it would be sexy Beijing, because people on the street always stop me. They ask me, people on the street in Beijing, you know, ask me, oh, are you that girl in that TV show Sex in the City? Because they think I look like Sarah Jessica Parker. And, you know, the three of us were talking about our love lives and you know, Anna Sophie just go on the street? You know, I said, I'll just go on the street and I'll ask Chinese people about their love lives. And why don't we just like start from that point and see what we get? Maybe it'll be really funny. And that was kind of the seed. And then it's grown into something much bigger than that, because it's really a show about women, about gender, about relationships. And then it became a whole site that's looking at various aspects of Chinese culture. So we have shows that are just about music. We have shows that are just about people in media and opinion makers and trendsetters. And so we have a few different series of shows on there.
Mm-hmm. And how many videos in the series approximately do you think?
Well, just the sexy Beijing. So the sexy Beijing's what defines them is sort of that it's based on this idea of this girl looking for love in China, and those are all hosted by me. And those, mm-hmm. we have about 50 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We have about mm-hmm. 50 episodes. And then the others we have, I'd say, we have a show called Beijing Beat and a show called The Hard Hat Show, and each of those have about 30 episodes.
Uh-huh. And how has Sexy Beijing been received, would you think?
I think it's been very well received. What's so exciting about it, and what was so exciting about launching it on YouTube, is that you get such immediate feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, you know, it's hard for Chinese people to get on YouTube, but we do load it on Chinese video sharing sites. But, like, when we load a video, we usually get about 10,000 hits in the first week. Our most popular videos have almost 2 million hits. And what's so
wow.
exciting is that people all over the world are watching them immediately. So if I load something, about 20 minutes later, I have 200 views. You know, I have people responding. And I think that it really was part of our mission, you know, to sort of reach out with this new perspective on China and let people see something other than, you know, the headlines on CNN, and let people see, you know, our China, let people see the China that is my world, you know, and that's really happened. And I think it sort of creates a bridge. It allows people all over the world to understand China in a different way. And as far as inside of Beijing, I would say, you know, I'm very much a Beijing girl. It's like in the States, you know, someone would say, oh, they're an LA girl versus a New York City girl, you know, and I'm not a Shanghai girl. I'm not a Hong Kong girl. I'm a Beijing girl. This is my town. So I think that it's really here where I get the feedback sort of on the street. You know, a lot of uh-huh. Chinese people here watch my show, and I also have a regular show on Tianjin television, which is actually on TV here. So that's the show mm-hmm. that most Chinese people end up seeing nowadays. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I think that that's the most rewarding part of the show is the feedback.
Good. Our time is just about up. But I want to thank you again for for this interview. And in Syndic number 3, I have included 2 of your Sexy Beijing videos. These are 2 of my favorites, Be My Chinese Valentine and Weddings Gone Wild.
Mm-hmm.
I have also included your website address so that viewers can access your other films and pick their own favorites. Now,
thank you. It's such a pleasure meeting you.
Before I let you go, I want to make a personal note. In the 1960s, I had the very good fortune to know your Bakersfield grandmother, Sophie Loewenberg. We were very good friends. Let me assure you, she would be so proud and pleased about your filmmaking career in China. In fact, she would be delighted. All the best to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Nice to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.